Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 536, Wedding Bell Blues.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we were just talking about racism before we started. And in case you were wondering, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad and we don't like it.
No.
The Post-Atomic Horror is going to say right now that we do not care for this racism, and also the KKK is bad.
I hope that, you know, what are we, 16 years into this show? We took a break, you know, more than a decade of the show. I hope that's not the first time this has come up.
Yeah.
And it's apropos of absolutely nothing, because this is a light and fluffy episode that doesn't really touch that at all, but... Here we are.
No, it's more just sort of living in the world we're living in. I don't know. The systematic racism has really been on my mind a lot lately. Like, who can say why?
Yeah, who could possibly say why? They did introduce some great new characters of color, so that's something.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that.
Some new gorgeous people to add to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not an Ugo among them yet.
No.
Which, you know, pretty good. I knew this episode existed, like there's a specific guest star doing a specific thing, and I had seen very minor spoilers, but I forgot, and also somewhere in the back of my head, I assumed this happened later in the season. Like, it was a very good sort of palate cleanser after all the heavy Gorn shit.
Oh, 100%.
But I wasn't expecting this. It kind of crept up on me. I'm like, oh shit, it's that one. Nice. So why don't you tell us about Wedding Bell Blues?
Which there ain't no cure for.
Guess not.
So it's been 3 months since the events of Hegemony. The Enterprise has been in dry dock getting fixed up, and Spock has been waiting for Christine to return like an extremely sad puppy dog. He's also had 3 months to just stack up all the romantic gestures, including learning to dance with La'an, getting an expensive ancient book as a gift for her, and buying a dog with a bow on it, which is the absolute last thing you should do with a relationship, Spock. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not great news for anyone, including the dog, when Christine returns with her new boy toy, Roger Coy Boy. Roger Corby, excuse me. Spock is understandably hurt, everything is awkward, and also an interdimensional trickster being is really hung up on playing Wedding Planner for some reason. So, Spock wakes up the next day to find out that he's been engaged to Christine, and the only person who realizes that is Roger Corby. Spock only figures out what's going on when he punches Corby in the face, which, again, pretty understandable considering what's been going on. Then it's time for everybody's favorite agains, Shanann. Spock and Corby run around for a while, dodging wedding stuff and feeling feelings, until finally, in front of literal God and everyone, Spock tells Christine how he feels about her, it breaks the spell, and everyone wakes up. And then the magic wedding planner's dad, Q, shows up to wrap up the episode and reveal that this is basically Trelane, and also that Q is Trelane's dad or whatever. More on this later. Everyone gets drunk, Spock and La'an dance, and Erica has serious PTSD because someone on this ship certainly needs to be constantly worried about how the Gorn monsters. Or, as Erica would probably put it, those Gorn guys are pretty messed up, man. Yeesh. 6-7.
I gotta say, I skimmed over your summary when I was doing my notes, and I read Roger Coy Boy out loud to my household, and it was received very, very well.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Just Tilo and Amanda and I, all three, just laughing our asses off. That's such a good line.
I mean, I want to say that your household is basically makes up most of my intended audience. So, like,
yeah, that's your demographic there.
Yeah, exactly. If that house likes it, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. So, good job. Yeah. Let me get into my bad thing because
let's hit that.
My bad thing is the last thing you said, which is I hope they're not turning Ortegas into the new La'an because we already did this, and I was so happy to see her, like La'an, done with it. She says,
yeah,
and now they're gone, and now I'm learning how to dance.
Yes.
And it's nice. Just... It wasn't cheesy fucking dancing doctor like Gates McFadden shit. It felt pretty natural. She looked amazing. And it's nice. She's clearly working through her shit, and it wasn't that TV she flipped a switch and it's all done. She's still got issues, but she's getting there, and it's nice to see.
The fact that she's like, no, this isn't going to be my entire person. I would like to actually do things that mm-hmm. aren't Gorn related.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'll teach Spock how to dance.
And she lists off a few other things, mm-hmm. like that she's learning because she wants to enrich her life and
yes.
and not just be about her job. And like, good job.
Yeah.
Nice work. But
meanwhile, the hallucinations have basically just moved two rooms down and like...
Yeah, and the worst part is that's so tacked on. Like,
yes,
there's one brief scene at the wedding reception where everyone's got someone to dance with, and she doesn't. And I thought Pike was going to come over and be the dad dancing with you at prom, which would have been a little awkward, but like
awkward, but also like that's such a him thing to do.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, this is the episode we found out he was an altar boy when he was young.
Yeah, of course.
Then she leaves the party and has, you know, it's just you and me, refreshing splash of water. And then she sees the Gorn.
Gorn in her reflection. It's like, hey, how's it going?
But the whole episode to that point is so light and fluffy and fun.
Yeah.
And then they just like, oh, but also dun, dun, dun.
Don't forget, though, that bad things happened and Erica got her entire inside scooped out. And
that's fine. But like. Again, you already did this.
I am fine with her. It having an effect on her in some way, because that's just like it would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but these are the same. These are literally the same effect. It's like here now. You hold this.
Yeah, it's the only difference is we were here for this.
Yeah.
Whereas with La'an's stuff, is we were learning stuff that happened to her when she was young. This happened last week.
And also, you broke a perfectly good Ortegas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, this is speculation on my part.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they gave her some darker, heavier stuff, because I believe this was around the time in real life her partner died and she was going through some stuff. And maybe they wanted to make the character less light and more like dealing with
something. Oh, I didn't know about
something.
That.
Oh, yeah, it was rough. Like,
oh, that
just
sucks.
The stories, like, I don't remember. I don't want to misrepresent it, but.
Yeah. No, I'll look it up later.
You should look it up. Her partner, I think, was sick for a long time or something, but nevertheless.
Yeah, that's like, terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. And I wonder, I don't know, that might also be in bad taste, even, like, go down that road. Like, do you want to make the character sad because the person is sad? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't know how to handle that. I hate the idea of the people on this show being like, use it.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
It could be that she requested it. Like, hey, I'm always making the jokes and I'm just not feeling it this year. Can you give me something more to work with?
Yeah.
And that's fine, too.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Wild speculation on my part. I don't actually know that. But that was really the only dark beat in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was just fun.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that.
It was. And it was fucking, it was fun and goofy. I had, a couple issues with the ending, but like.
Well, and we talked about bracing ourselves for there was a little too much like whimsy in the previous season, and we had heard this season gets really whimsical, derogatory.
Yeah.
But so far, so good. Like, I like this one.
This is good whimsy.
Yeah. I will say this exact plot. Well, not the exact plot, but the overall, this god being is just a kid and he's messing with the crew and now here comes the parent to admonish him. Wasn't that the exact ending of The Squire of Gothos?
100%, yep.
Like, we did this, and apparently, according to the producers, this is Trelane. It's not a Trelane.
Yes, they never name him that, but like...
He's dressed like him, he's got the sideburns, like he's so clearly, and he's...
Yeah, it's not subtle.
Adorable little Rhys Darby still has his New Zealand accent, but he's delivering it in a very bombastic 60s way that sort of evokes Trelane, despite the fact that he sounds nothing like him.
Pretty great.
Yeah. No, and he was a good choice. I love... he plays it so gay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying this about a guy who was the co-romantic lead in a gay pirate show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, the whole Our Flag Means Death was him falling in love with Taika Waititi, and somehow he's gayer in this.
It's like, wow, you really cranked it up to 11 and broke the dial off, huh?
Yeah, and he did a good job. Like,
I mean, literally, the fact is, like, hello, I'm a wedding planner.
Mm-hmm. It was an odd choice.
Wedding planner?
Wedding planner?
Wedding planner?
We've got to shift all those vowels.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. We're not good at the accent, but it's still fun to do.
Yes, it is. Hello? You've got to pitch up a bit?
Everything's got to be a question.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, you're the fly to the Concords, aren't you?
And it's a it's an interesting choice that everyone sees him. Like, he's role-playing as a couple of different figures on the ship.
Yes.
He's an Andorian wedding planner, and he's also a Vulcan bartender. And, like,
yep.
And you see his reflection, but it's like Rhys Darby didn't want to put on any of the makeup, so they're like, no, mm-hmm. no, he looks like this to us, but everyone's seeing him as something. Like, that's an odd choice.
It's sort of a neat, like, I don't, like... It's an odd choice, but, like, I kind of like it, just as a tip-off to, like, no, they're not seeing this.
I don't dislike it, but I didn't see the point of, like, why didn't mm-hmm. they just see the guy? Like, what's the difference?
I guess that's true.
It doesn't matter. My...
I'm sorry, weren't you the bartender from last night? No, I was a different man.
I was not pouring drinks.
I'm a wedding planner, as has already been stated.
Mm-hmm. Here's my card. Wedding planner.
Mm-hmm. W-E-E.
Mm-hmm. It might be because at least one of these guys meets Trelane later. And again, I try mm-hmm. not to get too dripped up in this, but it is a thing. Like,
yeah,
if he's going to meet Trelane later and not say, this is the man who made me think I was marrying Christine. This is Jim. Mm-hmm. You got to watch yourself. This guy's yeah. trouble. And he didn't recognize it. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they made him look different to everybody.
Now I look different now.
Yes. Now I'm the Squire of Gothos.
Yeah.
Different thing.
It's a different person.
But let's
I got tired
let's...
of playing Wedding Planner, and now I'm playing Soldier Boy.
Look, I got a new DVD, and now I want to do this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is how kids act, so.
Yep.
Now I'm really into Spider-Man.
Let's get into your bad thing, though.
So I had heard the rumors that Rhys Darby was playing Trelane, and that's fine.
Yeah. The outfit was great. The hair, all of it. Like, he looked like him. Very good.
I'm not sure why he wants to be a wedding planner, but you know what? Again, like, that's just a thing. Like, fucking...
It's what caught his fancy today.
Yeah, kids do that shit, man. Like, you got mm-hmm. a couple Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. I guess I work at a kitchen now, you know?
And he saw this this ship full of beautiful people and, like, these are mm-hmm. much better than Barbie dolls.
Oh, look at this. This might be the most gorgeous pet ship in the entire fleet.
Mm-hmm.
What else would I spend my time with?
No. These are my toys now.
Hello, I'm Miggy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he does a great job. Bringing out John DeLancey to voice his dad, Q, I didn't really need that. That's fan fiction shit. It's fan fiction that I have read and that I have enjoyed, but I don't need you to put it in actual episodes of Star Trek.
Well, Peter David wrote a book where Trelane and Q were directly connected, and Q wasn't his actual...
Q squared. I'm looking at it right now.
That's it. I couldn't remember if it was Q squared or not. And I don't believe he was his actual father in that. I believe he was just a fellow Q that was babysitting him or whatever.
It is very strongly implied at the end. They don't out and out say it, but...
Okay, so first of all, I'm willing to buy that time doesn't flow the same way for the Q, so...
Yes.
That's fine. This Q might have already met up with Picard and Janeway and everything. That's mm-hmm. fine. But that does make me wonder, do you remember in Voyager, his son, who I believe they called Quinn, showed
yes.
up?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same character?
I mean, it could be. And also...
Or does he have other children?
Also, the idea that that kid is the same as this kid, but this kid is much younger.
Mm-hmm.
But looking much older, because why not? Fucking...
Yeah, and then also Trelane. They're all the same person.
Dad, just because you want to look like this one guy doesn't mean I have to. I'm going to look like three different guys.
Look, I appreciate that you want to do fishy lips, but that's not my style. You think I have fishy
lips?
I'm
just saying, I picked a direction and stuck with it. And it didn't even get older until Jean-Luc decided to get older,
uh-huh.
which was weird, by the way.
That's the excuse that everybody uses in fiction now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be unnatural not to age, so I just aged.
Yeah. Okay. I like the idea of Q being like, and of course, Picard decided it was time to get older.
Sure. Well, he is
a
robot.
We do that, you know. Really?
He's a robot. Maybe he mm-hmm. did.
Beep boop.
Yep. But I the John Delancey thing didn't bother me because it was not subtle, but not. Mm-hmm. They didn't call him Q. If you didn't recognize his voice, which I don't know how you possibly couldn't.
No,
but
as soon as that guy spoke, I'm just like, well, there's John Delancey. I know him from a bunch of stuff.
Of course. But also maybe, like, I know this show has some appeal to, like, people new to Star Trek. So maybe they didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, of all
maybe
the
you have
new
voice blindness.
Could be. But of all the new series that they've introduced since Disco started, this one seems to be the one that, like, people who haven't seen a lot of Star Trek, they're like, maybe they've seen a couple of the movies or something. Like, they jump into this one, and which it's kind of cool.
Well, and I like that, you know,
of course,
like if we're picking up new people, like I'm down for that. God knows we could use it right now.
Yeah. And I think they could do a better job of, well, managing the whole franchise. We don't need to get into that again.
Just, that's certainly true.
Anyway, the Q thing didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that it bothered you. It does feel very Lower Decks, but in this particular case, it didn't bother me.
It's also very, like, this is going to be the one time I don't show up as this guy. I am going to be a space cloud, and no one is going to make a big deal out of it.
Well, again, they're calling back to the Squire of Gothos, which I don't remember if they were lights or a cloud or just an off-screen voice, but
sure,
they were not physical people that showed up to admonish him at the end of that.
Now, again, if this is out of fucking, like, time, and this is, like, the first time Q's ever been like, oh, people, huh? Well, that's a weird one.
Enterprise. Interesting.
Hmm.
It's a little can that floats around with people in it called Enterprise. I gotta remember that.
I can remember to come by here later when I'm younger.
Mm-hmm. When I decide to be younger.
This non-linearity is really starting to make my head hurt.
Oh, he's just Mork from Ork. He just ages backwards. It's fine.
Yep. And he came out of an egg.
Mork from Ork and his baby, Jonathan Winters.
Yep.
Lest you forget.
No. Q calling Jean-Luc.
Would you leave me alone? What is it, Q?
I just came back for another hug.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fine.
Nanu. And then at some point he gets sad that there's that his daughter is dead and causes a plane crash. But that's who knows when that happens in the timeline.
Hung out on Earth for a while, grew a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Met this asshole.
Had a run-in with a meth dealer who made everybody's life worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My good thing for this episode is, honestly, I was having a great time with the first half of the episode, which was basically just, okay, we've jumped ahead 3 months. Christine's done with her fellowship, and the ship has been under repair this whole time. Let's see where everyone is after a 3 month. And, like, they've been chilling. They've been, like La'an's teaching Spock how to dance. And, Ortegas brings her hot brother aboard, who immediately starts flirting with Uhura, who immediately flirts back and makes Erica uncomfortable, which is just A+.
Oh, and so good.
It's just a full-on hangout episode until and to be fair, the deadly danger was very light.
Yes.
But it was still like that old pattern. I always go back to Data's Day, where it's like, you had a nice little fun episode to just show what these people get up to in their off time, and then you had to bring some Star Trek shit into it. Mm-hmm. And But this wasn't bad, and what they were really doing was establishing the situation so you could then fuck up the situation. And
they used to do this in X-Men all the time, you know, you get your hangout episode.
Yeah, you do an issue where you clear the decks and you just say, and everyone takes a breather, and then the next dumb thing happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you do it in a serialized thing, which sometimes this show is. Also, Roger Corby, quite hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hot, sort of rakish, Irish, like, you know, dude.
A new hottie has entered the series.
Oh, and then there's Ortega's brother. And then there is the nurse who was filling in for Chapel for 3 months.
Yep.
Who
Holy
is a young
shit.
Dude who Mbenga said, guess what? You get to stay.
Yeah.
So a lot of them. And then
did you catch that guy's name?
I did not, but
I didn't either.
If he's sticking around, I think we'll get more chances too. So.
Yeah.
If you're into this, I'm not personally, but I could absolutely see someone being into it. There is a new bartender who is the species that Eric's is, and they do some interesting little bits of business with her multiple arms doing the Tom Cruise and cocktail like drink mixing thing, which is cute.
That ruled, by the way.
That was great. That was perfect.
Again, you might not be into this, but I was like, hey, who's this?
Yeah. Well, and there's a pretty lady under all that makeup too, so like there's that.
Also, making her the bartender means you don't have to show the three legs, which is smart.
Mm-hmm. Presumably, at some point, they're going to want to show off and have her, like,
oh, sure.
You know, clop out for something. But for the most part, yeah, you just leave her behind the bar. It's fine. But yeah, lots of new, interesting, potentially interesting characters.
Yeah.
And people are looking good, which is, I don't want to step on your good thing. So why don't you just jump in here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everyone looks fucking gorgeous in this episode. Like, some beautiful fucking clothes, which...
Well, at the wedding in particular, yeah.
Well, the wedding in particular, and that makes sense, man. Like, you're having, like, a big fucking on the wedding.
Yeah, the Starfleet guys have the dress uniforms on, but they also got other people in, like, their traditional... Like, Scotty's in a kilt.
Of course.
And, yeah. And,
Fucking Christine's Sam dress. Wearing oh, sorry, the ugliest fucking suit. Just, like...
Yep.
A suit with a tie. It's just like, that's that guy.
Christine's dress, which is like a peacock snake.
It's like if someone uncoiled a peacock, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's really, I didn't love it, but I appreciated it.
Uh-huh.
I was not a fan of her new haircut with her bangs, but the way she had her hair done for the wedding was fantastic.
I am also not a fan of her new haircut, but that's because I adored her old haircut. I thought that was an extremely cute look.
I think you have to be exactly the right person to pull off bangs. I'm not going to say nobody can do it. Certainly some people can do it, but as we learned when people were cutting their hair during quarantine, not everyone can pull off bangs.
It's tough, man. Like, I've certainly looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't want to fuck this up. I just grew this shit.
Everyone looks great, and then you particularly called out someone here. I don't know.
Uhura looks fucking beautiful from minute one to the end of the episode. Her new hair looks gorgeous.
She's been mostly sort of close to bald prior to this, but she's grown it out, and she has never looked more like Nichelle Nichols than she does now. Like,
100%.
It's fantastic.
She is wearing some kind of a dress thing. Like, they all go casual to the bar, so everyone's wearing... casual.
Mm-hmm.
And she is wearing just the most fucking beautiful dress and tights I have ever seen.
Well, this show, I think, does civilian clothes, but, you know, we ragged on, particularly during DS9, but throughout the Berman era, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, the costuming when they're off duty almost always across the board sucked. And here, because they can lean into the 60s aesthetic, I think it works a lot better.
That's a good point.
Like, everyone in their off duty clothes looks very 60s, and that's a good look. So
what she's wearing at the wedding, holy crap.
Oh my god,
her hair, by the way, she's got, I don't know what it's called, but like it's all up into like little buns, and Jesus Christ, it's beautiful.
Yep. And you know, not to be a perv, but she has the girls out also.
Yep, that too.
Just incredible looking.
The only person I'm going to rag on in this one is Roger Coy Boy, who just looks like a modern man wandering around the Enterprise.
Okay, but that's textual, because Trelane does not want him to be part of all this.
That's true.
And he dresses him down specifically on a number of occasions. He turns him into a dog at one point. Like,
also very good.
Like, you are not pretty. Everyone here is pretty. You've got to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So I
everyone
think that
else
was
needs
intentional.
To feel better because you're feeling worse.
But when he steps off the transporter pad with Chris, I think he looks fantastic.
Oh, that's like, that's his most Han Solo look.
Yeah. And they've tried this a million times with a million characters, but I think he nails it. He's like he's Indiana Jones is what he is, because he's an action archaeologist.
No, there's two specifically, and it's when they're in the bar, and it's later when he goes to break into Spock's cabin to sort of figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
those specifically, it just looks like he brought these clothes from home.
Okay, that's fair. But
and
I don't know.
When you put that specific man in the hallway from the, especially this hallway of the Enterprise, which has got that like white sparkling look to, he really looks like the guy they stole from the 60s in the original series.
Yeah, I could see that. But I still, I liked him a good deal, and I bought, immediately bought that Christine fell in love with him while she was doing her fellowship. Like, she tells the story. It happens to be her mom's birthday, which nobody knows, but, and he gives her a gift that reminds her of her mom and says some really sweet stuff to her. And it's just like, aw, and she's crying when she's telling the story. Yep. And it's like, he didn't just try to get in her pants. He clearly charmed her and resonated with her emotionally. And like, this is a real connection and not just like, you're a rebound because I had that thing with Spock. Like they fell in love.
Yes. Like even in the new universe, like he's her, like she calls him her best friend. And like,
yep.
Like these guys clicked immediately.
Yeah. And that's great. And we know from the original series, they were going to get married and then it went bad.
Yes. Well, he shouldn't fuck around with androids.
But wasn't that Andrea the android? I mean,
look, he should definitely fuck around with that particular android.
I was
going to
say,
was he her again?
If I'm not mistaken, that was the first time you went, whoa, hot 60s looking girl.
Yep. What is this feeling?
Mm-hmm.
No, he also created, oh, God, was it Lurch? It was Lurch.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bald cap Lurch.
Yep, and giant stone penis.
Yep.
That was the episode.
Never forget.
He didn't create that. It was just...
No.
That was the episode.
That was naturally forming.
Sure.
As happens in an infinite universe, occasionally, you're going to get a stalagmites might hang down, but they... Stalactite? Wait, no.
Mm-hmm.
Stalactite's...
Well,
no,
would
it is
you
a
ask
stalagmite.
It, would you ask it how it's hanging?
Mm-hmm. That's the
because
thing.
Then it's a stalactite.
Stalagmites might hang down, but they don't.
Sure. That's not confusing at all.
It's not. I read that in a Far Side book when
okay,
I was like
right.
eight. And
I mean, look,
fucking...
if the Far Side inadvertently taught you something by making a joke, that's pretty good.
That's the thing. It works.
Yeah. I mean, I got some stuff like that, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary Larson.
But
Gary Tharson.
Thanks, Cal Tools. Thou Tools.
Thou Tools.
Mm-hmm. But back to my thing about the early parts of the episode just being just fun hangouts, like all of the awkwardness of Spock trying to like woo Christine, like you said in your summary, there's a bit where La'an says, as he's comes aboard, will you be needing quarters? And Chapel just shoots her the dirtiest look.
Yep.
Like,
shut
up, Spock's right there. And
right
Ron doesn't
there.
Know, like, what are you talking about? I just came in. What do you mean?
When I love, he's going to present her with this like ancient archaeological book. And Corby's just like, oh my God, is that this thing I'm obsessed with? Let me see that.
Yeah, because that particular subject, like space archaeology, is exactly what got these two together in the first place. So, of course, he's into it also.
I just, it's such a fucking, because I know this shit up and down was, you can't have that. She gets that first. It's a gift for her.
And they definitely do some good stuff with Spock, just trying real hard and obviously being heartbroken, but it's awkward, but not in a way that made me want to hide my face. And it was good.
Well, the poor guy is so out to sea now, you know?
It's starting to become very clear why he just shut his whole human side off by the time we meet him in the original series.
But it's such a good place to pick him up as a character. We're just like, well, the Vulcan thing didn't work out. The human thing's not working out. What the fuck even am I?
Yep.
Like, I was going to do the love thing, like, going to embrace the human side. We were going to explore this. This was going to be huge. What the fuck am I supposed to do now?
But also, you should not pin all your developmental hopes on a person.
Oh, like, no, you absolutely shouldn't. But he is exactly...
It needs to happen in your head, Spock. Yeah, I know.
Like, it is completely viable that that's where he is right now, you know?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
And I love that. I love this, like, this poor, young, baffled version of Spock.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they often play him a bit on the spectrum. Like,
yes.
In a way that I think some people will find relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I did the thing I'm supposed to do. Why didn't it work?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like,
I don't have the innate understanding of this that some people have, but mm-hmm. I watched other people and I mimicked that, and that it didn't work.
I pushed all the I don't get why this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Everyone else seems to be doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And just there's a thing they do on the show that I've seen a bunch that they do in this again. It's just it's the way the crew feels so tightly knit, like when they're all hanging out in the bar together.
Yes.
And Spock feels so separate from that in this one.
Well, he's also waiting for his true love BFF to show up.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't fit with these guys. The guy he fits with, he's only met once or twice so far.
Yes.
Like, he'll have his moment. He'll have his moment to the exclusion of the entire crew.
But it's just, like I totally get it, where she's like, we're together, but I'm over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, and yep. all my friends are her friends now, and
yep,
they're all very charmed by this this extremely attractive rapscallion.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might go get a beer over there.
Mm-hmm. A Vulcan beer, but yes.
Uh-huh. It's for Vulcans.
Mm-hmm. We also got a check-in with Batel. She
yes.
has been recuperating on the Enterprise for 3 months, and she's like, yeah, mm-hmm. but I got to get back out there, man. Like, it's nice
yeah.
living here with you, but look out there, because they happen to be docked. There's a yes. whole Federation Day thing happening that I thought was kind of dumb, but mm-hmm. And we can talk about that in a minute if you want. But
yeah.
She's like, yeah, we're here home at Earth. This ship's getting repaired, and when I look out the window, I see all those other ships, and like, I want yeah. one, man. I'm a captain, and I lost my ship, and mm-hmm. it wasn't my fault, so they'll give me another one.
Yeah. She has the line. They told me I'd have my pick of, like,
yeah.
like 20 different ships or something.
Yeah, and the Memory Alpha points out, and this is where I, like, you may have spotted, you're better at spotting visual background details than I am, but we get a lot of different TOS era ships and
yeah.
variations on those ships in here, which is pretty cool. Apparently, the class of ship that Disco was still exists. Mm. Presumably, they don't have spore drives anymore, but
sure.
they were in there. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, there's a great shot, especially of one of my favorites, which is just the single nacelle attached to a saucer.
Yep.
I love that guy. He always looks like the little brother.
Mm-hmm. He can make it on his own.
The USS Little Water.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to check back in with them, and they have a couple of cute moments, and she's like, maybe you could move in with me, but mm-hmm. where will all your hair products go?
Yeah, that's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh my
and
God.
It seems like usually a time jump, like you take some chances with that. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you just going to gloss over shit you don't want to write about? But in this case, they skipped over the boring stuff. We didn't need to see Christine's fellowship.
No.
It happened. We don't need to see the ship get fixed. It's been happening. Everyone's been sort of chilling in orbit for 3 months
no.
and recovering and repairing. And like, I don't know. I'm into that. And these two, their relationship feels so much less tentative than it did.
Yes.
When we left them more, it's like, are we into the same stuff? Do we even like each other? Like,
yeah.
I saved
what's
but
going on here?
And yeah. now it's like, oh, they've been living together for 3 months. They're comfortable. Mm. It's cool. They did. It was a little hacky, but I liked it. The establishing shot where she's in his quarters is a shot of both their hairbrushes next to each other, both their
yeah.
coffee cups next to each other. And I don't know. I just like that.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was. It's a little hacky, but that's okay.
Well, sure. But like, I like the idea that it's like, the whole living together thing has been great, but like,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's time to get back to work. Like, I'm looking at, like she mentions, it's like, I got options. I got the 5-year mission. I got yeah. The courier mission. Like,
mm-hmm.
whatever I end up taking, this is going to become a long distance relationship again. And that sucks.
Yep. Which, hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've both been there. We've both dated
oh, yeah.
people far away from us. Like,
yeah.
it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
My sort of secondary bad thing is the same thing I've been railing on for years and years now, which is all the contemporary shit. Like, at one point, Roger Corby makes a Wish Us Into the Cornfield reference.
Yep.
Like, come on. And then at the wedding reception, they play fucking Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just what?
No, listen. I will give you the idea that David Bowie and the Beastie Boys might have made it into the future of Star Trek. Like, that's fine. That might also have something to do that with the fact that I like David Bowie and I like a couple of Beastie Boys songs and respect the fact that my friend is a big fan of them.
That's putting it mildly, yes.
But I draw the line that in 2161, the year it specifically is, 177 years after it was released, that people still know who Wham is and that they listen to the song Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And I like that song.
But it's 2261.
Sorry?
I think it's 2261.
Oh, you might be right. I looked up Memory Alpha, but it was a very cursory glance. Like,
well, they were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Federation, so I think you're looking at the date they're celebrating.
Oh, you might be right about that. Okay, so 277. That makes it worse, Al.
Oh, it absolutely does.
Especially after Wham died in the Whampocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, is like you're doing the, what do they call it in around Christmas? Whamageddon.
Whamageddon.
There, you know, like all the people here lost Whamageddon 250 years after that song.
Yeah.
And it's, look, I like that song, but come on, man.
I like the Christmas song, which currently I can't remember the name of.
I would not know it if I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I might lose that contest every year, but I have no idea.
I'll never know.
Yeah.
No, that shit's right at the top of my my Christmas playlist I roll out every year.
All right.
Around November when I start getting real depressed.
Yeah, I know. All right. What else?
What else indeed?
Oh, so you were talking about Uhura's hair, but also Mbenga's growing his hair out.
Oh, yeah. He looks great, too.
And there is... Oh, God. I don't remember. There's a stand-up comic. He's a black dude, and he was talking about that moment when a black guy decides he's quitting a job and he lets his hair grow out because it doesn't matter anymore. He doesn't have to look good for the white people anymore. And he specifically cited Trevor Noah at the end of The Daily Show.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have to look like the presentable guy anymore. You can just look the way you want to look. And Mbenga had that specific look.
Yep. It's like, you leaving, Joseph?
Nope. Got a black nurse. Haven't seen the captain in months. Just being myself.
Yep. This is what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm enjoying the promise of some new characters. Like I said, the nurse and Ortega's brother. Ortega's brother is apparently making a documentary, and we've heard Flonk mention a couple of times now.
Yes.
There's a documentary episode coming up that he really doesn't like, so it's probably related to that.
I mean, that makes... He mentions in this episode, like, they're going to let me make a documentary on Starfleet. And Uhura's like, well, I'm putting the word, I guess.
Well, that's because she wants to be nice to him because they're flirting and they're also making Erica uncomfortable.
Yep.
Again, that dynamic was so good.
I love that so much.
Yep.
Hey, want to piss off Erica? Of course I do.
But back to the nurse. This is your quote when they're talking about maybe him sticking around.
Oh, yeah. No, they basically are like, you get to, we're going to keep you on Enterprise. We like you. And this happens.
Well, now that Nurse Chapel is back, my temporary assignment is done.
I wouldn't be so sure. Don't look at me. Take it up with your direct supervisor.
Guilty as charged. I put in a request for Starfleet Medical to make your transfer permanent.
Wait, please tell me this isn't a cruel joke.
We are big on cruel jokes around here. Just wait until your first formal captain's table. But in this case, no. Apparently, he isn't ready to give you up.
It was very good. It's, again, Una doesn't have a lot to do.
No.
In this show. That's been my main complaint, is like, I still don't really have a hold on her character the way I do everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's I like her, but like she really does sort of fade in and out, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, during the trial episode, she just kind of sat there and waited for things to happen to her, and like, there was just haven't been a lot of standout moments for her, and I know the performer's up to it. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But so far, I have not been hugely impressed. But I don't know what happens next. Like,
yeah,
we got 2.5 more seasons of this, so we'll see.
I would be so happy if this if despite everything I've heard, this is a really great season.
I mean, I liked last week's okay. It was as good a resolution as you're going to get. This was good. Sure. So far, 2 have not been miserable. So
two out of what, 10?
10, yeah.
All right.
But again, I've heard they go super whimsy. So
I guess we'll see. Like, I really, like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know what happens in this season at all.
No, this was, I forgot that I did know a little about this because it was hard to escape, like, people talking about
all our
this.
Friends like Star Trek. We're both
on that. Yeah, and we're both on, like, various things that it'll come, you know, like, we have a Tumblr.
I hit my nerd sites every day, see what's going on. Never good.
Exactly. I stopped looking at a bunch of, like, algorithm-driven things when they started giving me AI, like, AI-driven, like, Star Trek Legacy's definitely happening. Here's some fake quotes that a computer made up. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. But I did see a bunch of pictures of Rhys Darby in the outfit and the
looking amazing.
So, yeah. Looking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
I'm a cute.
Beautiful. Hello.
Yes. Very good. I'm probably 60, but I look great.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Q son, you can call me Ah. Like a pirate says.
You know, like our flag means death.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they canceled it.
It's a very good show.
Because nothing gold can stay.
Mm-hmm. Pony Boy.
Soda Pop. Gailey.
All right.
See how many characters from The Outsiders Miggy can still remember?
Min? Beamhauer?
That's coming back.
Yeah, I know. Very happy about that.
Fucking stoked.
All right. Anything else about this episode?
I think that's everything. Oh, they put Spock in a jar.
Yeah, they did do that. It looked real fake.
It sure did. But you know what? Also, fucking funny.
No, it was in the long tradition of Q's doing really stupid things to people, so it's okay.
Oh, that's the other one. So at the wedding, when after Trelane changes Corby into a dog, the dog is still like the dog is still upset that the wedding's happening. Like you can see him howling, and Sam is holding his leash and turns to him and just sort of mouths, "Oh, I know, buddy."
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam is a big Roger Corby fanboy because he's a xenobiologist or whatever. So, like, he's into this stuff. And so when he meets, like, Christine is excited about him, but Sam basically has hearts in his eyes the minute Corby shows up as well. So it's a nice continuation of that dynamic.
Yep.
Where he's like, well, I'll keep the dog under control because I like him. He's a good boy.
Oh, what a good boy.
Good archaeologist and a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I did read in Memory Alpha that the guy who plays Roger Corby wanted that to be his dog.
Aw.
And I guess he didn't have the pull that the woman who plays La'an had to get her dog on the show, but...
Sure.
He's still cute.
I mean, you know, regular character versus reoccurring.
Yeah, we don't know how much...
I assume reoccurring.
I assume he's going to be sticking around for a bit.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. All right.
Oh, I'm so excited to have another person who's into androids who can play android characters and his own descendants for the next 100 years of Trek.
Oh, God. Did they ever tie in, like, did Soong's research ever involve Corby? Because it feels like that's a nice, like, that would be a neat little bit of...
I think they did.
Huh, weird. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Very well. Next episode is Shuttle to Kenfori. I think I do know something about this one, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hmm.
But I think I
know anything about Star Trek, that shuttle's going to crash.
Yeah, of course. Shuttles don't go places.
It's going to crash land in the Savage Land.
Yeah, probably. And they'll create the Dinobots?
Yeah.
All right. The website is ever postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail.com. Just reminding you Patreon folks that... we will be taking a 2-week break at the end of season 3 so we can wait for season 4 episodes to come out.
Yes.
But that's it. Like, you're still getting episodes well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who like that deal, patreon.com/Algar. It's as little as a buck, and you can get episodes currently 13 weeks ahead, eventually like 11 weeks ahead, which is still pretty far ahead.
Yeah.
And other fun bonus stuff as well. So check that out. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Post-Atomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.